You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
G-Shawn, J. Will, and Max. The podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
America's team came from.
He was the PR guy for the Cowboys.
Tex Schramm.
Okay. S-C-H-R-A-M. Schramm.
What year was this?
And he came up, I guess this was the late 60s, early 70s.
Was he the PR guy?
Well, he among other things.
Among other things. He was part of the front office of the Cowboys. And I wasn't born in the 60s
right.
Now, Max, come on. But he basically dubbed him as the America's team and also said something like, The hole in the roof of the old Texas Stadium, so the guy can watch us on Sundays.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, you're a Giant fan, so you're going to say what you're going to say.
I don't got hate towards anybody. I'm just saying.
The Cowboys.
I do. I have plenty
of
hate.
I don't care what anybody say about the Dallas Cowboys. The Dallas Cowboys are going to be relevant whether you want them to be or not.
Oh, I'm not hating on the Cowboys not to be relevant.
Or positive, Max. The Cowboys are going to be talked about.
People care about them.
People care. Like I said before, if you walk in any airport in America, just walking through, Jay, you don't have to be in Dallas. You can be in North Carolina, whatever. Somebody, you're going to stumble into somebody with a star. I don't care if it's a T-shirt, a hat, a backpack, them ugly sweats with stars all on them. Somebody is going to Dallas Cowboys, the star.
I got no problem with them being relevant, even though they haven't won a Super Bowl in a long ass
time. So
I was just curious about the context of how they became America's team and when narratives like that get put
it's
on a
just
team
a
like
marketing.
Oh, the whole is it's a God looking down on our team. Like their team is so much.
Texas is a hotbed for football.
Yeah,
right. It's in the middle of the country. It's America's team, and then you call it America's team, and then you win a bunch
it's
of
not
Super
really
Bowls.
In the middle
it
of
helps.
The country.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's kind of.
I mean, if you take the map and you slice it right down the middle, you get kind of it might
side.
Lean over a little bit.
Yeah, but you get a big chunk of Texas.
Yeah, you get a huge chunk of
the middle of the country.
Well, it's south middle.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Right.
You slice it right down the middle. Right, just slice it right down the middle.
Worry about you, Max.
Why?
Slice it right down the middle, man.
Oh,
if you're in Texas, you can get to the East Coast fast and get to the West Coast fast.
Right.
I mean, it's not
it takes a long time to get to both coasts.
Yeah, you can get there faster.
I'm just saying what?
This kid, he wants to go straight technical on me now. You're going to go 3 hours and 20 minutes this way, and you're going to go 3 hours and 18 minutes the other. Like, stop.
I'm just.
I remember an interesting story, though, speaking of the Cowboys, is I asked Jerry Jones because I was there. We practice in California, in L.A., in Oxnard. And I asked Jerry, why are we practicing out here? Obviously, the weather was great and stuff like that, opposed to being in Texas in the middle of the summer. And one of the great marketing things that he explained to me, he goes, one, there's no NFL team in L.A. It's a huge West Coast Texas fan base, a Cowboy fan base.
No doubt.
On top of that, this was the interesting part. And you understand this one, Jay. He said, if I bring the Cowboys to the West Coast to Oxnard, all of the media has to travel to our training camp to cover us, right? And I'm like, okay, what do you mean? He goes, they're not coming way to the West Coast to leave in one day. They're going to spend weeks there every single day. It's a story about the Cowboys, 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 Cowboys.
Plus, they want to be in L.A. anyway.
And they probably want to be in L.A. anyway, but it's a story being pushed out every day about the Cowboys because they have to come out there. They ain't going
to
come out
once
there
they spend the money
tan.
To send them out.
They ain't going
to
come out there and just tan.
Yeah.
That, to me, that was smart. That's what he's been good at.
By the way, very, and because of the, listen.
That's why he got a $10 billion team that he bought for like $200 million.
Key, you and I were both at 710.
Where were we at, Jay?
ESPN, L.A. Radio, and that we used to cover. We used to go to Oxnard.
Yeah,
the whole radio station would go to Oxnard to cover the Cowboys preseason before there was a team in L.A. It's true. But this is, the St. Louis Cardinals. I've mentioned this on the show before. They're a very popular team because for a while, they were the farthest team out, right? They're the only team past the Mississippi River. So everyone west of the Mississippi River in the country, the only games they get on the radio were Cardinals games, right? So they have a bigger fan base than you would think. Same thing. smart. Mm-hmm. He recreated that for the Cowboys.
And I think the Cowboys, this is the year to do anything. If Mike McCarthy and the Cowboys don't do what they think they can do, it'll probably be some household changes.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It'll probably be.
So here's ESPN reporter Diana Russini's thoughts on McCarthy and how hot the seat is. Listen to this.
I'm not sure if it's on the side of warm hot yet, but obviously all eyes are on him. He is fully aware of all the chatter around Dallas about his job status. And I'm listening to Tim talk about how he would have liked Mike McCarthy to really take advantage of this opportunity to lay into these guys, to let them know they've got to clean it up. And I'm thinking, come on, Tim, give him the benefit of the doubt. But here's why Tim doesn't want to give him the benefit of the doubt, because over the last two seasons, we're talking almost 300 penalties. That's a lot. It comes down to fundamentals and being undisciplined, and that does fall on coaching. It does. And yes, the players have to take responsibility. They need to get better here. And I'm sure today in meetings, it was not a good day for these players as they probably watch back film to see these mistakes. But it's got to get clean because Dallas cannot just rely on their talent.
300 penalties, you're starting to approach 20 a game.
I haven't played football in 20 years or whatever it's been. Listening to Diana Russini talk just now, I got chills because I got scared. I got scared of what could have happened if I was being coached by Parcells and that was good. Like, I may have not committed the penalties. You and Jay may have committed the penalties, but guess what? We're a team. Man, we would be running. It would be suicide drills. It would be concentration drills. It would be stuff that you'd be like, man, come on. I've seen it up close in person to a point where Brian Cox got so teed off at one of our teammates for making mistakes, and we had to suffer as a team because they came in the next day. And so, Matt, B. Cox wanted to beat the you-know-what out of the dude.
And then also in your bones, you know it differently when you're like, I don't want to have to go through
that. Man, I don't want to feel like dealing with that.
But you know when
legs
it just feels this way, and I'm not saying it is, but it does feel like Mike McCarthy has lost the locker room.
Already?
Because my thing is, when he gets goosebumps like that, right? Because it sends chills down his spine because he knows what's about to happen. And I feel that way. I felt that way with Coach K. But I will also see other teams, Key, where dudes would do certain things and they wouldn't have the same type of repercussions, or they wouldn't have that same intimidation factor in the locker room, and it allowed them to continue to do things like that.
Yeah, see, I don't know if he's lost the locker room.
That's why I said, I'm not saying it's fact. It just feels that way to me.
I think she was referring to Tim Hasselbeck when she kept saying Tim.
Tim, right.
He's right, though. Whichever Tim she was talking about. I'm assuming it's Hasselbeck because I don't think she said the last name.
It's Hasselbeck.
Was it Hasselbeck? Yeah. He's right, though. It's on the coach. He's got a – that was a moment where he could have just went ham on everybody and said, look, we're not taking this blankety-blank. Somebody is going to suffer. Somebody's going to pay for this. The consequences, it ain't going to be me. He could have done that, but he took a different approach. Maybe at practice now it's a little bit different. We'll see you the next game.
But, Max, you either play for your bank account or you play for somebody that you trust and that you rock with, that you're willing to run through a wall. Like, you should play hard.
Well, I can't play for both.
You can play for both. But my thing is, if you're playing for your bank account and you're not playing for that dude, you're not as willing to do as many things.
I need to play for both, though. I can't play for a guy just running to a wall. I got to get paid to run to that wall.
Hey, but, I mean, if you got paid your money anyway, no, you got paid your big contract, you playing for that dude.
I think the only thing for the Cowboys to do to send a message is cut Micah Parsons and send him to the Giants. Trade him right to the Giants. That'll show everybody.
No, you can't cut him. It's got to be somebody.
Trade him to the Giants.
It's got to be a guy.
That'll show him.
They're already thinking, you know, he's a bubble guy, but we like him. Mm-hmm. You know, we just gave him a 6-year deal. You know, it's got to be one
somebody
of those guys.
Who the locker room thinks is safe.
Who thinks
so you got to show everyone nobody's safe.
You got to show somebody. I'm just trying to think who that could be.
On that team? See, they just got rid of Cooper.
Yeah, but you traded him, so that's different.
They traded him, right? No, I'm saying they already did that, so he'd be a target.
Can't be Zeke.
I mean, I'll tell you who it is. Zeke is the answer.
It would have to be somebody like a
because you need Zeke this year.
Are you sure about that?
Yes.
See, Zeke would be interesting, but his cap number would explode to a point where they can't do it.
They can't do it.
It's got to be somebody that they can do, or two people they can do, but they kind of need them, but kind of don't
need
them.
Who is that on that team? We got
to
figure that out.
I have to think.
Who should the Cowboys whack? 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. So, where do the Cowboys rank among the best teams in the NFL?
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
From your radio to your smart speaker and phone.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
Or watch on ESPN2. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Live weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
We are joined
by
Dan Graziano, ESPN NFL Insider.
We haven't ordered any new mics, Dan. Just hold on to it. Like,
yeah, that one's defective, man.
It's clearly
that,
mic four, which is fine. I mean, I'm
used to have that over
here.
Remember that it kept falling
issues,
over there?
Man, we got financial budget issues. Don't bring too much attention to our
just project your voice.
Mics.
Forget about the microphone. Dan, Michael Irvin said yesterday, first of all, it's good to see you. I haven't seen you in a while.
Yeah, good to see you too.
That he thinks the Cowboys could chase the 72 Dolphins.
Yeah.
He should have said for 14 wins, not an undefeated season, but he said an undefeated season.
But let's put a little context to it.
Okay.
If they clean up the penalties.
Jeez. What?
That's what he said. I didn't say it.
All right, so... No. Look, first of all, no. Period. Like the end of the quote, as I saw it, was, did I say something crazy? And the answer is yes. Because that's not a conceivable thing. I mean, like, the 72 Dolphins had six Hall of Famers, not counting the coach, who had won more games than any other coach who ever lived. They had been in the previous year's Super Bowl and lost it. The following year, after the undefeated season, they went 12-2 and won the Super Bowl again. Even if you have very high hopes for this year's Cowboys team, that's way beyond anything you can reasonably expect. And I mean, the only reason to say it is to, you know, to provoke a reaction, get attention. And so good for him. He did it. But, like, that's not...
But he really believes that, though.
Yeah, he believes Cowboys.
No, the playmaker really believes that. You gotta remember, Dan, he's all silver and blue.
Yeah, he believes it. I get it.
Even if he believes it, mm-hmm. He's the only one, it seems like, thus far, that has said something out there like that about the Cowboys.
Makes me nervous.
Typically, each preseason, we start hearing rumblings about, oh, the Cowboys, Super Bowl champion, they could be good. Yeah. We haven't heard that this
Should
preseason.
Should we be nervous right. about that, Dan, that no one's taking them?
Sometimes when the least is expected, they accomplish
you
the
know
most.
It's you covered the Giants when this was going on, right?
Yeah.
Like, no one took the Giants. They won two Super Bowls.
Yeah, I guess. Look, I mean, you know, that at the time... you know, you're talking about they went through Super Bowls with Parcells and Coughlin as head coach. I mean, like, it's a little different situation. I think, first of all, to think that the penalties were the only problem the Cowboys had last year, I think is foolish. I mean, like, they had a really good record, but they dominated their division games. And 6-0 in their division just absolutely crushed the other three teams. If you take their point differential in those games out, they become a very ordinary team when they played anybody else. So they have other stuff to clean up. The defense played at a high level, but it was mainly fueled by really unsustainable turnover numbers, right? That probably comes down. So can the defense play better overall when it's not forcing turnovers at that rate? I think that's a key question. Significant losses at wide receiver. Age on the offensive line. You know, Tyron Smith isn't able to get through seasons healthy anymore. Zach Martin's shown a little bit in terms of health issues the last couple years. So I think there are bigger questions with this team than just penalties. I think the question with Dallas is, can they win the division again? No one's repeated in 18 years in that division. Can they go farther in the playoffs? And if you can answer those questions, I still think you're a mile away from saying they can go undefeated.
Can they go farther in the playoffs, meaning can they win a single playoff
game? Go beyond
game?
The first round, exactly.
Can they win a game?
These are more reasonable goals.
So look, one of the reasons, Dan.
72 Dolphins.
Well, yeah, I think so. One of the reasons that maybe if they expand to like 19 games in a season, they can win 14 games, right? Like, but yeah. One of the reasons we're talking about the Cowboys now, are they flying under the radar a little, is because the Eagles are the hot pick. Yeah. Better at the line of scrimmage, you would think, on both sides of the ball. Mm-hmm. Jalen Hurts ascending. But for those who like the Cowboys, they say, Cowboys have a commodity at quarterback we feel more comfortable with at this moment than the Eagles. So how good could Jalen Hurts be this year?
I think that's the key question, right? Like, I mean, the Eagles, I think, have the better overall roster around their quarterback. Hurts is a guy that I think if you got the Eagles in an honest moment, they would tell you Hurts showed more improvement last year than they probably expected him to. And they're happy about that. I think it would be great for the Eagles if Hurts can turn out to be the guy. I think they're a little ways away from finding out because there are things about his game that still need to be improved in order for them to fully believe that. But what Jalen Hurts does have is high-end work ethic, high-end intelligence, high-end toughness. We knew all these things about him coming out of college. He was a second-round pick. The Eagles obviously really liked him. Can he become the passer they need him to be on downfield throws, on third downs, from the pocket, all that stuff? I think they're open to that idea, but he has to show that. I think that's one of the stories. I think that the young man has inside of himself the ability to show that, to do that. But we can't see the future. We don't know whether he will. If he does, I think they're the better team.
See, when I look at quarterbacks, I take it in a lot of different steps in measurables in terms of what they do, how they are, their style of play. Last year was his rookie season.
Yeah, basically. What did he play, like five games, four or five games the year before?
Four games. It was not even real, right, Dan? Yeah. It was like, whatever, the team was dysfunctional. They're arguing about Carson
Wentz. Right, and
Wentz.
They ran it.
Like,
it, and it was
Carson Wentz making announcements before he takes the ball.
Some guy who's the backup that we never heard of before. Yeah. So, get rid of that.
Right. Yeah.
Last year was his first year. He took a team to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Started off slow. New head coach. They figured it out, what the NFL is all about. He goes into the playoffs. He plays against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. What did you expect?
Right, of course.
I mean, like, seriously. Yeah. Now, this year, the offseason comes. They got all these number one picks, and they're going to do this and that. They made a decision not to go after a quarterback because Jalen Hurts was their guy.
They're going to find out about him.
And now we go to the preseason. We watch him engineer drive, touchdown, tight end, woo! And we're still having a conversation on whether or not he's going to be their guy.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't make a lot of sense to me because my eyes tell me he's an NFL quarterback. Mm-hmm. He's going to continue to get better. I've watched quarterbacks in this league that don't have the talent that he has continue to get the opportunities to get better. Why can't he get the opportunity to get better and lead this team to a championship?
Well, I think he is getting that opportunity.
No,
right?
he is. But there's so much reservation out there about what he is.
He's not tall.
I think
it's all, you know,
he's
all,
not like
it's not
that's what it is.
No, it's not us, but it's people.
But I think objectively there are things, and again, I think there are things the Eagles coaching staff wants to see him work on and improve. And I think those things are pretty clearly delineated. And again, he's got the opportunity. They did not go after a quarterback this offseason in part because – the quarterback class in the draft was not very inspiring to a lot of people. Remember, they had the three first-round picks. They ended up trading one of them. Now they have two next year. So they've hedged a little bit, right? If he goes backwards, or if he doesn't advance the way they want him to this year, they have the two first-rounders in a much better quarterback, presumably a much better quarterback class.
I don't want to stay on this too long, but the way that I look at it, maybe I'm not a good evaluator of talent. Who knows? He's better than the guys that are in college right now.
Right.
He's better than
them. But, Key, what Dan's pointing out, and I think makes a lot of sense, I think it's actually rational from the Eagles. We're going to give this kid everything he needs to take a step forward. But we're also going to trade one of our picks this year for a first rounder next year. Because if we don't see what we need to see, it doesn't mean he has to win the Super Bowl.
Maybe I'm just sensitive that I'm just sensitive for him.
And fair enough.
Maybe I am.
And fair enough. But again, he is getting an opportunity, right? I mean, this is his second year entering the season as the clear-cut starter. He took over as the starter the year before, his rookie year, from a guy that they had just signed to a significant long-term contract after spending significant draft capital to get him. So he's definitely someone. Right. There's somebody, but the Eagles, as much as any other team, are always going to hedge at quarterback, right? I mean, like, they drafted Jalen Hurts in the second round right after they signed Carson Wentz, or right before they were going to sign Carson. That, you know, they won the Super Bowl with their backup. Like, that's the lesson that the Eagles will always carry with them.
So, I don't know.
So they don't want to ever be caught short at the position. They don't know what Jalen Hurts is going to look like a year from now.
They don't know a year from now, because what happens is we talk about it.
It becomes your narrative that follows you.
It becomes a narrative. It creeps in the mind. And all of a sudden, it just.
But in this case, Key, I think what Dan.
Why aren't we doing this with Mac Jones? Or why aren't we doing this with Trey Lance? Or why aren't we, you know.
If Mac Jones doesn't show improvement, actually, we will be then.
Yeah, I think we are. I think, honestly, what we do doesn't actually matter. What we're talking about is how the coaching staff looks at the player, how the organization looks at the player. And I think the Eagles organization looks at this player and has high hopes and believes that he can be something. But recognizes that, like any other young player, second, third-year quarterback, there's room for growth. And they want to see certain growth. The Patriots want to see something from Mac Jones. If he doesn't play as well this year as he did last year, they're going to start to wonder about his future there. Trey Lance is a big gamble for Kyle Shanahan. Very inexperienced. He needs to see something this
season. What do you think the ceiling is for Trey Lance and the 49ers this season? I mean,
This season? I think they've put a good enough team around him that if they can maximize his strengths and minimize his weaknesses, they can – that they can be a playoff contender. Yes.
Is his strengths better than Jimmy Garoppolo's? Just from what we saw.
Yeah.
Right?
Athletically,
it is, right?
Arm strength, whatever. See, you got to
understand. So they're in a better position.
People talk about
I guess.
Garoppolo like he's something. I mean, like, we've never seen Garoppolo really as a starting NFL quarterback without Kyle Shanahan. Like, we don't know what he's going to be like. Like, Kyle's betting on himself.
It was a fake 2-0.
Two games, whatever. Right, exactly.
He looked like it looked.
Was it 2-0 or 1-1? Whatever.
It was 2-0.
It was 2-0.
Brissett was 1-0. He was 2-0.
So, yeah. Versus 4 or 5 years or 3 or 4 years, whatever he was in San Francisco. So, yeah, I think Kyle's betting on himself there as much as anything else. And, you know, maybe Nick Sirianni's doing. Like, Sirianni got 5 games into the season last year with the Eagles and decided, what we're doing isn't working. We got to run the ball. The quarterback's got to run it. The running back's got to run it. They became the most run-heavy team in the whole league. You don't want to be that long-term. So you need to see more. You need to get more confidence in your quarterback as a passer than I think they had last year.
So the Patriots, Mac Jones, we got all these issues with the play-calling duties. Is it Joe Judge? Is it Matt Patricia? Is it Bill Belichick? Is it Bill Belichick's son, Steve? Like, who's going to call?
Defense.
I know, but right. But who's calling the plays? Is that going to be a little bit of a setback for Mac Jones moving forward?
I mean, it's conceivable, but I think what we have to be careful of is what we saw in the preseason game is not reflective of what's going on with Mac Jones. He wasn't in the game.
Yeah.
And my understanding about how it's worked here throughout the offseason and training camp is that Matt Patricia's been working a little more closely with Brian Hoyer, and Joe Judge been working a little more closely with Bailey Zappe. So when one was in the game, one called the plays and the other vice versa. So we didn't see Mac Jones, and who's going to be in his ear because he didn't play in the game. They got these joint practices this week. So I think they're figuring out, like, Belichick is saying, I want to develop both these guys as coaches on this side of the ball. They're both going to get an opportunity to call plays in the preseason, right, when there's no harm done.
Yeah.
And we'll see. Maybe this is beneficial to both guys down the way. But my expectation is that Patricia is the odds-on favorite to call the plays once the season starts. It's not out of the question Belichick calls the plays if things aren't going well.
That's what Mike Reese said. Mike Reese came on our show the other day and talked about how he had how Patricia and Mac Jones had a little bit of a relationship, and like that continuity would be
pretty imperative for Mac Jones.
So they have these joint practices starting this week, and Mac will be heavily involved. And I'm sure that everybody who covers that team will be paying close attention to who's talking in Mac Jones's ear when he's on the field.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if how involved Belichick is in calling the plays. I've been there before with Parcells where we had Charlie Weiss and we had Dan Henning, but Bill, certain times during the games, Bill was calling the plays. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see.
Dan Graziano, right, ESPN NFL insider. Always good
don't
to see you.
Don't touch the mic. Don't touch it.
Check him out, though, Jay. Got them Gucci's on.
Oh, there's a birthday present.
Ooh, birthday present. Okay.
It was a big birthday, Keith.
See, wait, is that the pebble leathered one?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, see, I have a whole theory about that. In this business especially, you got to get pebble leather shoes because they don't scuff and scratch you sitting
no
at the desk.
I have no idea what pebble leather shoes.
You know, it's like
leather.
Textured. It's not
really,
like smooth
don't really
and shiny.
Crease when you're driving.
They don't crease.
Yeah,
they don't scratch. They look good for longer. Pebble leather. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, I don't know what pebble leather.
Yeah,
they look great. They look great.
He's got
Gucci'd up.
Yeah. You got a theory about this microphone?
I have all kinds of theories. Got a theory for everything.
Budget issues. Yeah. We have budget issues.
I would use a different one. That's my advice. I gotta go do sports.
Don't play with
the How worried should the Bucks be? Right. Not the Tampa Bay Bucks, the Milwaukee Bucks. With Giannis saying he's open to playing for the Bulls.
What? More than twice.
Keyshawn, Jay Will and Max, ESPN Radio.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. How you guys doing this morning?
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you guys doing?
Good morning.
I'm good, man. I'm straight.
What do you have? What were those shoes called that Dan was wearing?
Pebbled leather. Pebbled leather. It's
like leather bound books.
Leather. No, but pebbled leather is like with grainy. You know, it's like got little bumps. You never. You know what pebbled leather is?
Textured leather. I get it, but I never heard it.
Look, I know Jay doesn't know this stuff. He's a modest working man. But Key, I'm sure you know a pebbled leather.
I know textured leather, not pebbled leather.
I see.
That's all. I mean, I don't splurge on those type of shoes.
Right, I hear you.
Yeah. Do you wear shoes like that, Max? What do you? I don't know.
I got loafers on right now.
Do you wear shoes like that?
Got some suede loafers.
Those were loafers too.
Yeah,
yeah. They just had the
summertime,
the
brother.
Gucci deal.
Yeah.
Cool. I mean, those are business casual.
Yeah, business That's casual business.
Yeah,
it's business casual.
That's high level casual business right there. That's bougie casual.
I mean,
for you maybe, Jay. Once again, you're a working man. You live a modest lifestyle.
Max, I've never worn Gucci loafers.
Well, I don't like the
but
big...
You make
I don't
it
need to see the
like,
big G and everything. You know, it's
you
not
make
for
it
me.
Seem like they... Everybody has
I'm
a...
I'm curious where you're going with this one. Go ahead.
Everybody has a different style.
Yeah. I'm
that
down having different
style
styles.
Doesn't
yeah.
work for you.
No.
That doesn't work for me anymore.
Yeah.
Nor me.
I used to rock them way long time ago.
Really?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Why do you say, yeah, of course?
Because he was an eight. He, since he's look, been a teenager,
said, but wait,
he's
Tom,
been a, an NFL
said,
star.
You said, yeah, of course. And you looked him up and down. You said, yeah, of course.
No, yeah, of course, because like now it's different for him.
No, I
now,
got him Jimmy's, baby.
Now,
I mean,
but
man,
also
Jimmy
but also at a certain on. Point, at a certain age,
what?
And also at a certain
Many
status,
choose, man.
You stop wearing labels all over the place. Like the kids with like polo splashed all over. Then you get older, you don't want people to see the brand.
Yeah, my son had a horse on the other day. It was half his shirt. I was laughing. You know, I was laughing because he had the polo shirt on, but it had the big old giant horse with the. I was just like,
see when
but
you're
that's what they
yeah,
like.
See, when you're young, especially it's the it's the competition.
I got the little.
You got to be loud.
That's all I got. You know,
can't be subtle when you're a kid because it's too much. You know,
when you were a professional athlete and you played, and I'm sure Jay can go through this, and Max, you went through it early on in your career when you were making more money than you probably make now, or less money than you make now, so to speak.
Jeez,
is that. What?
No, he's right.
No.
But more money than, like, my friends at the same age.
That you, Jay, as a player, you had every piece of Louis Vuitton luggage you could possibly find.
Everybody, look at me. I made it.
Right.
I mean,
right.
And you wish you could get that money back for that Louis Vuitton luggage right. now. I mean, that's just.
First car I ever had.
A dog tag necklace.
You want to get that back.
Why?
First car I ever had, because I grew up in the city. No one had a car, right?
Yeah.
Working at ESPN, I got a car. I got a Lex, right? A GS450, something like that, right?
Yeah, probably had rims spinning.
Hold on. Gold. I put gold. Rims on them. Gold rims. As soon as I looked at them, they looked so bad. I'm like, you know what? I'm taking the loss on this. Take these off.
Then Max, like, I can't believe I got robbed when I went back to my old neck of the woods.
Well, really?
Your wheels really? Are spinning. You're going to get robbed.
You got gold spree wells on your car, on your Bentley.
Yeah, right. That's
with a dog tag necklace worth $20,000.
Oh, my God.
Because it's clearly, if you could take some of that Louis Vuitton luggage back, you could buy a third home, Jay. It's just
I just want to put it in 529 for the kids.
Because the luggage, you just have every piece. It was the greatest thing ever. You get off the plane, I got the bag, I got the other bag, I got another bag. I probably had like five pieces to go on one road trip.
On the commercial flight with five Louis Vuitton.
No, with the team, you get off the plane.
I was saying, you ever seen back in the
20, you got about a nice 36-hour trip.
Yeah, you got five pieces.
Nine pieces of Louis Vuitton luggage. What are you doing?
Can you see that one athlete that comes on the plane first class? He got the five Louis Vuitton bags. I'm like, come on, man. It costs more than a damn ticket. What are you doing with the five Louis Vuitton bags? All scuffed
but
up.
But that was part of our culture as athletes in the time we were playing.
But also, I think it has something to do with being young. Like I think of just the amount of cologne kids like in high school wear, right? Because the competition, you can't be subtle. You got to be loud. Cool, you know, you got to.
Extra cool water?
Fahrenheit.
Fahrenheit. Ooh, I forgot about Fahrenheit.
Cool water was cool, but Fahrenheit.
Back in the day, it was Ficar Noir.
Half a bottle.
You take the whole cap.
Half a bottle.
Because there's no time for subtlety at that age. Just too much kind.
I ain't going to lie, yo.
You leave the elevator 5 hours ago, they still smell you.
I ain't going to lie, yo. When Playmaker be coming through the hallway, Playmaker here?
Yeah, you know, Mike's here.
Playmaker, that's why I tell him. I told him yesterday, I said, man, what the hell? You got a half a bottle on? He shook my hand. We hugged.
He shook
my hand. We hugged. I came.
Now you got half a bottle. You got a quarter
man,
bottle.
I smell like a half a bottle. I'm like, is Mike still around here? Yeah.
By association.
And actually, the way Stephen A. was dressed yesterday, he should have been the one with a half a bottle on. Looking like the president of the Orange Bowl Commission getting ready to give
him
the
alone, man. It was his first day back.
No. He looked like the booster for Tennessee.
No, yeah, Clemson.
He was a booster for Clemson.
Booster for sure.
Or when he put on the boat hat, the little skipper hat, the guy, and you guys see this guy, the guy who's the president of the Orange Bowl or the Citrus Bowl or one of those bowls, that comes out and gives the invitation to the bowl for the winning team. Wait, that's what he looked like.
Wait, man. Okay, I got a text yesterday. I'm not going to say from who, but the text said, oh, this guy looked like a Tennessee booster. He talked about me missing part of the season. He missed about a month and a half on TV. Where he been? He don't like the work. He don't like the plastic. Oh,
no, he said his shoulder had surgery, but the whole time he was talking and moving around. I'm like, now, how are you going to move your shoulder like that?
Why the fingers taped up?
Because that was another. He went in for a couple of procedures at once.
I'm going to kick his ass when it comes to playing basketball.
But he said his shoulder, he had whatever, a scope or whatever on his shoulder. Man, he was moving his shoulder around. I was like, come on, man, Stephen A. You're going to milk this one to the end.
That player said he doesn't like the work, does he? I said, oh, no. No.
But he did look like a guy giving out an invitation to a bowl game. To the Orange Bowl.
To the guy giving out the invitation to the Orange Bowl.
You got to see that guy.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
This man
the
alone.
The guy who gives out the invitation. All right. Key, you got a top five wide receiver to avoid in fantasy coming up. You're going to get into that. Key's real rankings.
It won't be my nephew, that's for sure. I'll just put that out there immediately.
Nepotism.
Meantime, Giannis, just because I talked about it earlier, Giannis said, hey, look, he came out and said, in promoting his new ambassadorship with a telehealth company, Antidote Health, he was asked by Fox 32 in Chicago about potentially playing for the Bulls in the future. I think anybody who asked the question that plays basketball, if he said no, he'd be a liar. It's a team that won multiple championships. It's a team, one of the greatest players, not the greatest player ever to play this game. It's a no-brainer. Everybody would love to play for Chicago. Ooh, I'll tell you what, people in Chicago right now thinking about eventually getting Giannis. Keyshawn, J. Willimax, Key's Real Rankings, top five wide receivers to avoid in fantasy, coming right up.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
From your radio to your smart speaker and phone.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
Or watch on ESPN2. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Live weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
I'm the smartest guy in the box, so I like that too.
Key's Real Rankings.
Okay, you hear the music. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. It is time for Key's Real Rankings. Here are the top five wide receivers to avoid in fantasy. Of course, we're kicking off fantasy week all week this week.
To avoid.
On ESPN.
Avoid.
To avoid. You don't want these dudes
don't
in
pick
fantasy.
These guys. Okay.
Well, look, at the end of the year, beginning of the year, they may have a slow start. They may come on strong or whatever the case
so
is.
So early. Avoid them early.
Early, I would think early. You avoid them from a fantasy standpoint because of things that need to happen. And you talk about guys. Let's start at number five.
Number five.
Hollywood Brown, coming over from the Baltimore Ravens, has a relationship with Kyler Murray, dates back to college. I think it'll be a slow start with no DeAndre Hopkins opposite him, although A.J. Green is in the mix. He could have a slow start or he could have a fast start. I'm betting on the slow start portion of it because they've got to get A.J. Green going. They're going to take touches away from Hollywood Brown.
Number four.
Number four, the Seattle Seahawks and DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett combined together. Who's their quarterback going to be? Is it Drew Lock? Is it Geno Smith? Will it be Jimmy Garoppolo if he gets free? That's the key to what they're going to do. There's no more Russell Wilson long ball treatment in Seattle. He's now at the Denver Broncos. Both of these guys are home run hitters. We watched DK Metcalf for the last couple of years just take the NFL by storm. We know what Tyler Lockett is. I don't know that they're going to get quarterback production out of the two guys that they have in Seattle right now.
Number three,
CeeDee Lamb. I'm going to tell you this knowing firsthand. When you move from, well, I don't know firsthand on this one, but when you move from a number two spot to the main target as number one, it's a different world. Everybody's watching you. Yeah, I said I don't know about this because I was never number two to go to number one. So I think CeeDee Lamb will get off to a slow start. Eventually, they'll figure out how to get him open. He'll understand how to beat double coverage, beat triple teams, do those sort of things like Amari Cooper was able to do. Fantastic receiver, was a number one receiver at Oklahoma, but the NFL is a different level when you're the number one guy.
Number two
is Tyreek Hill. There is no Patrick Mahomes in this situation. I know he loves Tua. He's talking him up, all of those sort of things. But in terms of fantasy numbers, I don't see, no matter what the cheetah says, him being a home run hitter for this particular style offense and what McDaniel wants to do, running the ball, coming from San Francisco, Jaylen Waddle still got to get his touches. Mike Gesicki still has to get his touches at the tight end spot. So when you start to look at this, is this going to be frustrating beginning of the season for Tyreek Hill to the point where now all of a sudden Teddy Bridgewater becomes the quarterback? Because you have to justify, Max and Jay, the amount of money that you just paid Tyreek Hill. So if Tua gets off to a slow start, I wouldn't be shocked if Teddy Bridgewater takes over simply because they're not getting Tyreek Hill to football.
Number one,
in my all of stay away from fantasy football, avoid this guy, is Amari Cooper in the Cleveland Browns. We all thought, okay, this is a great fit, no question about it. But who's the quarterback? Do we really believe in Jacoby Brissett to get the football to Amari Cooper? Run base offense, heavy with Kareem Hunt, along with Nick Chubb. Now you got an amazing route runner that could potentially go to waste in Amari Cooper because of the style of offense that they're going to have to play until such due time that they figure out what's going on with Deshaun Watson. That's my top five to avoid in the fantasy draft.
Early in the season especially.
Yeah. I would take Michael Thomas number one overall. No matter what position.
By the way, like when Michael Irvin talks about the Cowboys, it's not that he is not talking about a very good receiver, but you have to understand.
Can I add one to the list? Yeah.
Real quick, Jay.
I was going to say Robert Woods, too. I think
he's hurt.
Well, coming off ACL, but still not going to a pass-heavy offense, going to a run-first offense with Tennessee.
He won't be there probably to the middle of the year.
Middle of the year.
So you got to probably bench him at the start of the season anyway.
These rankings are brought to you by Dell. Your small business needs, for your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. You have any receivers to avoid, Jay?
I threw out Robert Woods.
Yeah.
But coming off ACL.
Right. But guys who are going to play early in the season.
I mean, there's you know, maybe I...
Metcalf is interesting early in the season, especially. If they don't get Jimmy G, you ain't got any quarterbacks in Seattle right now. Let's be honest.
I don't know if you got one if you got Jimmy G.
Right. Well, he's not going to be throwing bombs all over the field, that's for sure.
I'm surprised. Hollywood Brown, I know you said getting A.J. Green touches at the beginning, but still, D-Hop not being in the first six games, wouldn't he be the primary target?
What you want to do is you want to – what I would do, I don't know what Cliff Kingsbury would do, but what I would do is try and feature A.J. Green as much as I can.
To take
the – take some of the pressure off of Hollywood Brown, because naturally defensive coordinators are going to the game thinking, are they going to feed Hollywood Brown because A.J. Green is on the backside of his career? I would flip it on him.
Mm.
You know, that's what I would do. But God, what do I know? I mean,
it happens
so fast
in the NFL. I think 5 years ago, if you said 1, 2, 3, 4 receivers in football, I'd have said these four names in whatever order. Julio Jones, A.B., Odell, A.J. Green.
That wasn't 5 years ago.
Yeah, about 5 years, man.
Nah.
Not less or more?
Way more.
No, I don't think so.
No. Five years ago, he was hurt.
It's 2022. That's about 2017, brother. It's about 2017.
You probably would have said it. You said five. I bet you'd have said it 8 years ago.
No.
Absolutely.
I'm telling you, 2017.
No, go look.
Someone look that up.
When you're bored, look at it.
I'm just saying it happens fast.
No, it's fast.
It happens
fast. But this is like his 18th year.
Who, A.J. Green?
Yeah, he's been in the league forever.
How old?
A.J. Green's been in the league 13 years, man.
A.J. Green's probably scraping 30 right now.
He's been in the league.
How old's A.J. Green?
I bet you he's been in the league 13 years.
I'm going to look up A.J. Green's age right
this
now.
This is probably his 34. 13th year.
34 years old. Man.
He's been in the league 13. I don't need to go to
years,
your.
Right.
I don't need to go to your laptop.
I don't know. I go to the phone. Only Jay uses the laptop.
Why
I go
do
to the
you have
phone.
Your laptop out?
Well,
I told you
Zoom.
To look smart.
Well, you can't use your Zoom on your phone?
Yeah, because I use the phone to look stuff
Jay,
up, and the Zoom is there.
You
Jay, it's
it,
to look
you?
Smart. It's to look smart.
We have.
He doesn't even use that thing.
Which one?
The laptop.
I do use it for Zoom because I can see the producers. I get stuff on the screen I can read.
I don't even read what's on the screen.
Sometimes I do, sometimes I
those
don't.
Those 2 hours.
ESPN NFL insider Field Yates weighs in on Key's top five wide receivers to avoid in fantasy coming right up. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.